So our next presentation is by Ms. Michelle Cavallio from Emory University. She's a team lead for the Cancer Prevention and Control Research Network at the Emory Prevention Research Center. And since 2004, she has worked on the dissemination of evidence-based approaches through national work groups, training, technical assistance, and local mini-grants programs to translate evidence into practice in rural communities. She has very actively participated on the FQHC work group. So let's welcome Ms. Michelle Cavallio.
Thank you, Lily. I just want to start by saying that Lily has been wonderful and is one of the people that's made a lot of this come together. So thank you for moderating our panel. And I also want to thank Maria Fernandez from University of Texas at Houston and Michelle Kegler at Emory, who have both worked a lot on the framework mentioned earlier, the Consolidated Framework for Implementation Research, and have helped, along with our entire work group, to frame some of the thoughts that we're having in our analysis right now. I have no relationships to disclose, and I wanted to ask, because this framework, you can see the citation, was published in 2009. How many of you have heard of CFIR, Consolidated Framework for Implementation Research? Okay, so we've got a fairly well-versed audience, and how about REAIM? Okay, so for those of you, and so that gives me a gauge of how many are in kind of health education, behavioral science fields. So in REAIM, we often concentrate on adoption as what we're looking at as outcomes and how organizational context and what factors and facilitators help adoption. And right now, what we're trying to learn more about is implementation and what factors affect levels of implementation. So this framework, Consolidated Framework for Implementation Research, tries to open that black box of implementation and get deeper into what factors are associated with successful implementation. So I'll go over a little more. CFIR has five domains, and it's an overarching typology which combines 19 conceptual frameworks. So you can imagine that's probably a fairly complex framework, but it's actually been wonderful to see something so comprehensive. It's pulled a lot of the theories and frameworks that we've been traditionally using and helps the fields to use the same terminology. And so I'll go over what some of these, the five domains are. So my arrows here. So the individuals involved are one of the domains, both within the inner setting of the organization or the periphery involved in the process. It might be external partners or those with contracts. It depends on the study and what topics and projects you're looking at. Then we have the intervention itself and the intervention characteristics. So on the left side, you see here that's kind of a puzzle piece that doesn't quite fit well. So that represents unadapted evidence-based interventions. And if you don't adapt, how that may not have quite a perfect fit. Here where you have this adaptive periphery, the intervention characteristics where it's more flexible and adaptable, you might have more compatibility with and have more potentially more success with your interventions. Inner setting, as well, you can imagine, and within the organization, those represented the including the individuals and infrastructure. And the outer setting, so partners and other networks, external forces and policies and incentives. And, of course, the processes that go along with implementation and interaction of the inner and outer settings. So we'll take a look at what makes this framework useful. So, of course, in the formative stage, before you're implementing and planning stage, you may want to look at capacity and needs assessment. What are some of the potential future barriers and facilitators? And then what we're looking at here is more the implementation stage and just the initial part of the outcome and impact stage. So we may not have final outcomes on what exactly helps promotion of colorectal cancer screening, but what are some of the factors that help us to implement evidence-based public health practice to promote cancer screening. Oh, and of course, at the macro level, in public health research and clinical research, which we're seeing to start merging nicely, and I think our work group is a good example of this, that Xinping's a physician and our other researchers are public health researchers. So we're trying to merge some of these fields and all the many frameworks we love to use in public health, and I think this is a potential use of CFIR to organize our language and our terminology across studies. So here, this is, I'll ask you to kind of remember this color coding. So we have this kind of schema, where level one at the bottom is when an evidence-based intervention is implemented fully and systematically across a clinic. Level two is when that's implemented but inconsistently. And level three is early stages of implementing the evidence-based intervention, whereas these top two are they're in planning stage or there's no plans yet. So here, the levels one through three is adoption. So if we were only focusing on yes-no adoption, we wouldn't quite capture the richness of implementation quality or extent. So that's what we're trying to start learning more about. So there's a lot of information up here, but I quickly wanted to show you what Xinping and Daniela mentioned to you. The first clinic characteristic survey was given to 76 clinics, so one person per clinic, and we wanted to see across the eight evidence-based interventions what they said as far as their level of implementation. So we looked at one-on-one education, reducing structural barriers, which includes transportation, extending your hours, just making it easier for clients to come in for colorectal cancer screenings. Patient reminders, provider assessment and feedback, so some sort of quality improvement data collection where providers receive back how they're doing with referrals. Small media includes brochures and flyers. Patient navigators, and in this case, patient navigators focused on promoting colorectal cancer screening. You often hear patient navigators used for patients to, once diagnosed, to get through their clinical system, and this was focusing on navigators that promote screening, and then provider reminders. So you'll see that at that level one, it's actually still fairly low. And this is actually interesting timing because, as Xinping mentioned, 2013 was when they were had to go to the next stage of meaningful use and actually be able to pull records for colorectal cancer screening. And so this hopefully is timely data that we can revisit later. Now, at that level three, where we're just saying yes, no adoption, this is that kind of blue line right there. So the ones that where it's a little higher is patient navigation, provider reminders, and patient reminders. And we were more interested in learning about the systems change interventions because we seem to know a lot more about things like small media and one-on-one education. So the areas we're trying to learn more about are these system evidence-based interventions to promote screening. Now for that survey we mentioned where we had up to 10 people per clinic, we went a little bit deeper, and we did focus on these four. So provider reminders, patient reminders, one-on-one education, and provider assessment and feedback. And again, you'll see that levels are about 30% or lower for that level one, fully and systematically implemented, and then here that other blue line where it's kind of the yes-no adoption question. So there's still a ways to go, and there's also room for us in public health who want to partner in clinical settings about building capacity and infrastructure, training, and building capacities of clinics and collaborating on those organizational and contextual issues to improve not just adoption but implementation quality. Okay, so back to CFER and how this all relates. So I wanted you to see the levels of implementation and what they've reported. And don't worry, I won't read all the bullets here. But I wanted you to see that in the survey, we asked some general questions about those five domains, but then we went deeper and asked some specific questions about the factors that related to a specific evidence-based interventions. And this, we've done a lot of preliminary data analysis right now, so we still have yet to analyze more. So today we'll use provider reminders as our example of an evidence-based intervention. So I'll go through quickly the five domains. So the first domain, characteristics of individuals, I've highlighted in blue the one we actually pulled measures from existing surveys and maybe tailored or adapted to fit a clinical setting. And we asked about knowledge and beliefs about the intervention. Here are some, I won't read all these interesting points as well, but these are some of the constructs within characteristics of individuals. But in this case, our data showed an odds ratio that was one or lower. So we didn't report the data here as it wasn't associated with higher levels of implementation. Intervention characteristics, relative advantage. I'm sorry, I think I said that another way. So this was about individuals. The second domain is about intervention characteristics. And what we wanted to look at was relative advantage and complexity. So relative advantage basically means, do they think that the evidence-based intervention is better than what they're either currently doing or doing with in absence of provider reminders. And so relative advantage was the one that had an odds ratio higher than one. So there's an association with higher levels of implementation, whereas complexity, the odds ratio was lower. For intersetting, this is the area we wanted to know more about because the organizational context is very important to our understanding of success and implementation. So we looked at all of these: structural characteristics, networks and communication, culture, implementation climate, and readiness for implementation. And just a forewarning, implementation climate and readiness for implementation have many sub-constructs underneath them. So implementation climate has six sub-constructs that I will not go into, but you will see what we found at intersetting. So these five had odds ratios that were higher, and actually these two, structural characteristics, including resources, and culture, specifically innovation and flexibility, did have higher levels on the odds ratio findings. So these were the constructs with communication, leadership, compatibility that we see associations with higher levels of implementation. And this one here, it has a little marker by it because this was compatibility was specifically asked about provider reminders, whereas the others might apply to other evidence-based interventions more in general. For outer setting, we wanted to know more about patient needs and resources as a driver for their motivations to use evidence, and it did have also a higher odds ratio, so there is an association. And the process is the last of the five domains, so we looked at engaging, executing, reflecting, and evaluating. And reflecting and evaluating, basically, it could mean some of the quality improvement measures, looking at the data qualitative and quantitative to reflect on what might work to help them improve their implementation processes. So that also is one of the higher ones. So this is preliminary data. We only looked at the provider reminders for now, but it is among the first, as Danielle and Xinping mentioned, to look at the consolidated framework for implementation research, and especially in community health centers, which is an area that's evolving. It's a top priority both for clinical and public health arenas. And so I think we have a lot to use. Actually, CPR has come up in multiple projects that we're all working on in our Cancer Prevention and Control Research Network, and multiple projects locally at Emory. We're doing a lot of work with the CDC colorectal cancer program and using CFER a lot and across a lot of the projects we work on, and with partners as well. And we hope that this research can help practitioners to understand about designing the supporting structures, which might include training and technical assistance or other forms of partnership between public health and clinical settings to help translate evidence into practice.